Now, Charity Action on Hearing Loss has launched a new campaign today called Working for Change. The launch at the Skenos Centre in East Belfast aims to help employers become more confident in recruiting and supporting staff who are either deaf or have hearing loss. And here to talk to me about that is Claire Lavery, who's heading up the campaign. Morning, Claire.
Morning, Ivan.
You're over in the Skenos Centre. I was over there myself last week and had the most excellent of fries, I have to say. But that's neither here nor there. We are here to talk of other things. Working for Change, what persuaded you that there was a need for this campaign?
Well, like all good campaigning charities, we always research all of these issues. So we have evidence that we have gathered over the last year or so that people who are deaf or who have a hearing loss face real barriers to getting a job, staying in the job and progressing through their career and through that job. We also did research with employers. We spoke to over 600 business leaders across the UK who told us that they really didn't feel confident, informed or well-equipped to cope with staff who have a hearing loss and really didn't know what to do right. So those kinds of messages informed us then that there was something that we needed to do about this. And so we're launching our campaign this morning to raise awareness of the issue and to provide support to employers.
It's a big campaign that you're working on this time, and you know it's a very sensitive area, but a lot of that, from where I'm standing on the outside looking in, seems to be lack of knowledge. You know, employers are frightened by it. They're not quite sure what to do for the best, so there's a need to inform people of the reality of the situation.
Yes, that's exactly it. I think it's a lack of awareness which sort of makes people freeze and they don't know what to do. So maybe it's easier just not to go down that road, and perhaps it's easier not to employ that person rather than maybe have to tackle some of the issues that may arise. But our message to employers is that this doesn't have to be difficult, that there's plenty of advice and guidance out there. And we have produced a guide which outlines four key myths and misconceptions that perhaps employers might have, and then we've given information on how that actually isn't the case.
What are those myths, Claire?
So, for example, you might think it's too expensive to employ a person who's deaf. Oh my goodness, they're going to need all this extra support and I can't afford it. But actually, there is a government scheme, Access to Work, which employers can apply to for funding, and that will help towards the costs. So it doesn't have to be an expensive venture to employ someone who's deaf. The other common myth is that it's dangerous. Oh, they're on the building site. What if they don't hear machinery? How are we going to communicate with them? Or in any environment that they've perceived there might be danger. But deaf people should get the same health and safety information in an accessible way as anyone else, and that everyone else should be made aware that this person's deaf and that if there's a fire, you need to notify them and all of that kind of thing. So they're simple steps sometimes can actually help the situation without having to go into too much expense.
A lot of this is just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's the small things that make the difference, and it's those human things quite often. It's been able to speak to the person and say, look, I don't know anything about deafness. Can you tell me what I need to know? How can I help you? What's correct for me to say and what's not? And to have those frank conversations, because deaf people would rather that and have the thing put right than, you know, people being afraid and then not and making a mistake and maybe perceiving or assuming things, that they've done things right and actually they're not. So a lot of the time it's simple adjustments, it's being human, it's asking the simple questions. So I was about to say the other common myths are that it's too difficult to communicate with someone, or that perhaps they can't continue to work if they lose their hearing as they get older. And none of those things are actually true. It's about making adjustments and speaking with the person and just seeking information and being informed. And obviously there's also a legal obligation that employers need to follow to make sure they're not discriminating against anyone in their workforce with a hearing loss.
So what are the first impressions you've had, on this? Are you feeling that people are receptive to your message?
Well, I think we are on a long journey. Employers and the business community face an awful lot of information and regulation, legislation and red tape. So I think we have to begin at the start, which is to raise awareness of hearing loss and deafness and the prevalence of it. The fact that more and more people are working into their 60s, and therefore you may well have people in the workplace that have a hearing loss. So we need to start at that stage, and then we're going to build it over the next 12 months, work with employer bodies and industry representatives to try and get some foothold there. I mean, it's very difficult. This morning we're launching our event. We're delighted to have quite a few employers in the room, but there's a big breakfast happening in the Titanic. So you can understand that there are other priorities for the business community. So we're in it for the long game, and we have some examples of very good practice, and we hope that we can share those to demonstrate that this isn't as big and scary as people might perceive it to be.
Well, I wish you nothing but well with it. In my own experience, my son James has Down syndrome, as you may know, and he is working age, and what we find is that some companies are very switched on, and he's been very fortunate in getting a job in Starbucks, and they're very switched on to the needs of it, and he's just integrated into the workforce, and you know that works very well. And I'm sure in your role you've found that it's a bit like the little girl. When they're good, they're very good, and in other cases, there's a bit of work to do.
That's it. And it comes down to an organisation's culture. If it's an open, flexible and supportive culture, then people are going, and that will embody itself in the way the managers and staff react to their colleagues. So that's what we need to get to, because access for one actually improves access for everyone. Improved communication for one improves communication across the team. So there's a lot of benefits to employers to employing a deaf person beyond the work that they can do themselves. It's that spreading of good practice throughout the organisation. So Starbucks has some good practice today. We have Belfast City Council. We have Amadeus Foods, who are a catering firm, with us. And we have a number of staff from the BSO who are all demonstrating very good practice. And we hope that we can spread that word. And thank you for the opportunity for this interview.
Not at all, Claire. Claire Lavery, thank you very much for coming on. And nothing but good luck for your Working for Change campaign. Good morning to you.
And if anyone wants more information, Ivan, they just go onto our website, www.actiononhearingloss.org.uk.
actiononhearingloss.org.uk. Am I right?
That's it.
Good girl. Thanks, Claire. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.